Blessed. We're in the second week about talking about being blessed. That we're blessed. We're blessed with God in our lives. We're blessed to having Him in every aspect of our lives. And He wants to show His blessings to us. Last week, as we began to talk about being blessed, we started out in the scripture that says, judge not, so you will not be judged. Condemn not, that you will not be condemned. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, as we started to take a look at this passage, it doesn't segment out what you're going to be receiving back except by what you give. If you give judgment, you will receive back judgment. And not just measure for measure. You'll receive it back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you give out condemnation, you will receive back condemnation, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So whatever it is that you put out, you will receive back in greater measure than what you put out. It's just a seed to the harvest that you're going to receive back. So if you give good things, then you receive back good things. If you give blessing, you receive back blessing in abundance. We started to talk about the fact that it doesn't matter what it is, it's all going to come from your heart. Most of the time, what we give from our heart. The Bible says where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So we talked about we have to deal with a selfish heart. We have to deal with a grieving heart that once we give, once we put it out in somebody's life, that we don't grieve over that. Then we have to have a heart of gratitude and ultimately a heart of generosity. So we're going to continue on and we're going to talk about being blessed. How many today would say you're blessed? How many would just go ahead and put your hand up? Like you could say that your life is blessed. There's nothing negative about this. How many of you would like to be blessed more? Amen. It's good. In fact, the Bible is really clear about it. Jesus is quoted in Acts, the 20th chapter, in the 35th verse. He says this, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. If you want to be more blessed, then you actually have to learn to give more. Because when you give more, ultimately it comes back to you, but you're more blessed when you give. So the challenge here, is to adjust the way we think about blessing and adjust the way we think about giving. Most of the time when this subject is addressed in church, and I'm cautious about this. Now, let me just tell you very honestly, this is probably one of the most tedious conversations for me to talk about. When I begin to talk about blessing, when I talk about giving, It's not a favorite subject for me. There are some preachers like there. You can tell they run in the door. They're ready to take an offering. And like, I'm not that guy, you know? For me, because here's the deal is this is sensitive. It deals with our heart. I'm cautious about it because I had watched my father being taken advantage of all of his life. He was taken advantage of from preachers. And they took advantage of him with the promise of give and you'll get. Give and you'll get. And so the focus began to become getting rather than giving. Last week I talked about the fact that, you know, imagine God up in heaven saying to the angels, look at my children down there on earth, man. They're finally getting the revelation of getting. They want more. Get. That's not the heart of God. The heart of God is blessing, to give. So when we get the revelation of blessing, of giving, then somehow our heart begins to align with the heart of God. And that's where He wants us to be. And many times, as I've heard it preached, and please don't take any offense in this, but you know, as I've heard it preached, it becomes the focus of what you're going to get. You're going to get this. And it almost starts to lend itself to a selfish conversation. That it speaks to the greedy part of us that you go ahead and give because you're going to get. And so the getting becomes the focus. And that's not the focus with God. Is it a part of the equation? Yes, it's a part of the equation, but it's not the focus. The focus is you're blessed when you give. So today I asked the question already. I want to put it a little bit more out there. How many do say, I'm blessed? I'm blessed. Okay. Now, in the grand scheme of the world culture, and you might say, like, man, I'm having some financial hardship in my life, and I'm having some problems in my life, and, you know, I'm questioning the blessings of God in my life. In the financial culture of the world, think about this. You're blessed. Just being in America today, you're blessed. The average person in the world, average income is $2 a day. $2 a day, average income. There are families that live on $2 a day per person in the world. It's the average. There are people that live on much less than that. Now, with that in mind, I want to talk for a few moments about this blessed. The good news is you're blessed. The bad news, if you're here and you're blessed, most likely, and there's some bad news on the backside of this, most likely, as much as you are blessed, you spend. In the cultures that are most blessed, we have the highest per capita of spending also. We spend what we get. And on some level, what God wants to do is he wants us to rethink the way we think about being blessed. Now, let me just talk about this for a couple of moments, because you would think that the more blessed a person gets, the more generous they become. The average income, the average household in the United States, or average household in the United States, not just to churches, but to every charity, to United Way, to UNICEF, to Compassion International, average household in the United States gives 3.1% to all charities. And somewhere in there, it's a small percentage of what churches receive in that average household, 3.1% here in America. Now, that's the average. Let's talk about less than average, because you would think if a person is less than average, they'd give less. Under $10,000 a year, if you make under $10,000 a year, they don't give 3.1%. How much do you think they give? Here's what they give. They give 5.2%. Under $10,000, they have less money and they give more, 5.2%. Households that are between $10,000 and $20,000, they give 4.6%. Households that are between $50,000 and $100,000, are you ready? 2.4%. Above average in income, below average in giving. For those that are extraordinarily blessed, let's jump to the $200,000 mark. You make more than $200,000 a year, extraordinarily blessed, you'd probably put your hand up to say. What do you think their income is? 3.1%? 5.4%? It's 0.07, less than 1% in giving. Less than 1% in giving to charities. Now, here's what's crazy about that is this, even though you're above average in your income and below average in your giving, you're above average in your spending. I don't know if we should feel good about that or not, you know? I'm not sure that that's really the picture of blessed. Here's the deal about this is, today I want to talk to you about being blessed. We're blessed. We've already determined here that we're blessed. But there's going to be a test that's going to come with the blessing. There's the blessing test. And when I was in school, I can remember sitting in class and a teacher would come in and say, there's going to be a test. And I'm like, what test? And they're like, there's been a test coming along. The whole time you've been learning, there's a test coming. What test? There's going to be a test today. I didn't know there was a test. Here's the deal is even in blessing, there's going to be a test. God wants to know if you're going to be faithful. He's going to test you. He's going to test you to find out if you will love and trust money or if you will love and trust God. If you will love and trust money, or if you will love and trust God, that's going to be the test. I'm going to start out in Luke, the 16th chapter. I want you to read with me, if you would. And here's what it says. Whoever will be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. He's saying, essentially, if you've been a good steward of a little bit, God's going to bless you with more. If you've been a good steward with just what little bit you have, and this doesn't, now listen, this translates in every aspect of your life. This isn't just a place where it's finances. It translates into your job. It translates into talent. It translates into every aspect of your life. If you're on a job and you're working, and you know what, and let me put it here into kind of the church environment, because we have a lot of people that show up and they have a lot of great talent, and we have some folks that show up and they invest and they start to, they pour their time into Christ Church and they do their work with excellence, and they're just giving. The interesting thing about that is somewhere down the road, what's going to take place is we're going to have the opportunity, and maybe if it comes time to hire somebody, we're going to look at the people, honestly, that have invested in Christ Church, done it with excellence, as opposed to the people that maybe had great talent, but their work that they did and the place of service that they gave was kind of half-hearted. It happens on your job. If what you invest into your job is kind of half-hearted, the truth is you won't get a blessing out of that. You won't receive back. If you work and you're negative in that environment, you're going to receive back the harvest of that negativity as opposed to taking, and while you're there, you're blessing the people that are around you. So it equates out in every aspect of your life. You can be trusted. You can be trusted with something small. God will bless you with something that's greater. He'll promote you. He'll prosper you. He'll bless you. Now, here's the deal is and when it comes to the money of our life, we trust our money. God wants to know if you're going to trust your money or if you're going to trust him. See, money is a counterfeit God. Money makes promises in your life. I will tell you this. This is a rule of my life. Whatever problems you have in your life, they don't get fixed by money. They get turned up by money. Whatever problems you have in your life, they get turned up by money. But see, we think money is the fix-all for everything. But money can't fix some aspects of our life. Money promises, but it doesn't pay off. Money promises security, but it can't deliver security. The day that you receive a phone call from a doctor, the truth is, it doesn't matter how much money you have, there's no security. Money promises freedom. But when you buy and buy and buy and buy and you own and you own and you have to spend your entire life maintaining and eventually the stuff that you own owns you, you're not free. Money promises freedom, but it doesn't deliver freedom. Money promises power, but you can't have real power. I'm talking true victory unless you have Christ. Money promises significance, but you don't know who you are unless you really know who you are in Christ. That's where true significance comes from. Money promises, but it doesn't pay off. It's a false God. It tries to take the place of God. Here's what Matthew, the sixth chapter. It's a parallel passage. Are you ready? No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And now, the interesting thing about this is there's some of the translations where the last word is not money. It's actually mammon. You can't serve God and mammon. Now, the word mammon is only used six times in the Bible, and it's referring to a false god. It's one of the gods of the Babylonians. It's the god of riches. It's the god of prosperity. And he's saying, when you bow down, when you put your heart and your affection set on money, then you're bowing down to a false god, and you can't have another god. You know, the scripture says in the Old Testament, you should have no other gods before me. There's a reason why God doesn't want us to have other gods. It's because he knows they lead us to destruction. They lead us to negative places in our life. Only he can lead us to true life. And so he says, you can't have two gods. You can't serve God and serve money. Ecclesiastes 5 says this, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. It doesn't matter how much money you make, it's never enough. You get an opportunity, you'll take more. You have a house, you want a bigger one. Have a boat, you want a bigger one. There's a desire down inside of us. We always want more if our goal is money. I want you to turn with me, and I want to talk for a few moments about this blessed test. Malachi, the third chapter in the sixth verse. We're going to turn into the Old Testament. I want to talk to you about this for a few moments. Here's what the Bible says. God is speaking to us concerning our finances. He's speaking to us concerning the way we manage our life and manage what we're blessed with. Here's what he says in verse number 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Now, let me just talk about this for a second. Here, I love this. He says, I'm the Lord your God, and I do not change. And generally, when we think that, we think like he's a God of judgment, and he's actually saying, you've not been consumed. You've done some stuff that you deserve some judgment, but I'm a God of kindness. I'm a God of love, and I haven't changed concerning that. And so he says, I'm the Lord your God. I do not change. Therefore, you have not been consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and you have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you. Now, the word ordinances there is an interesting word. It actually comes from the same root word of ordinary. Ordinance means that the ordinary, the way you live your life on an ordinary day. This should be the norm of your life. This should be the ordinary aspect of your everyday life. And you've gone away from what should be your ordinary life of following God. And then here's what he says. Will a man rob God? Now, listen, these are God's words. So I don't have to qualify them, okay? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And God answers in tithes and in offerings. Consequently, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, the storehouse in the Old Testament was really, it was the house of God. All scholars knew it was the house of God. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out on you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. You can test me. It's a two-way test. God's going to test you, but you can test him. And as you test him, you'll find out that he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you that you cannot receive it. And goes on and says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine fail to bear fruit for you in field. And all of the nations will call you, somebody say it, blessed. They'll call you blessed, for you will be in a delightful land. Now, again, I said this earlier. I don't talk about this very much. Maybe once a year I preach a sermon on money and how it fits into the blessing of God in our life. About every 2 or 3 years, I'll preach a message. So if you're brand new here at Christ Church, you're going to find out that I'm not going to preach like this for just a week or two. Next week, we're going to be taking a look at some other aspects of blessings. But I can't really preach to you the full gospel. This is such an important part of your life. Did you know that most marriages fail over financial issues? Businesses obviously fail over financial issues. Friendships fail over financial issues. And the one place that we often end up doubting God and falling apart in our faith is when it comes to our finances. And yet God says, I have a plan concerning all of this. The core of this will make your faith stronger, and you can test me on this. Okay, so here it is. There are some lines I want you to write in on in your bulletin, if you would. Number one, tithing is a test. Tithing is a test. Tithing in the Bible means tenth. It means 10%. It's the Hebrew word that means 10%. I think he chose tithing 10% because it's the same for everybody. It doesn't matter how much you make. 10% is 10%. And 10 in the Bible generally stands for a test. Now, just bear with me for a couple of minutes. 10 stands for a test. Are you ready? Let me ask some questions. How many plagues did Pharaoh face in Egypt? How many plagues? Anybody know? 10. There we go. How many commandments are there? 10. Okay. You'll see that there's a pattern. You'll catch on real quick here. How many times did God test Israel in the wilderness? How many times was Jacob's income changed? How many days was Daniel tested in the book of Daniel? How many virgins were tested in Matthew 25? How many days of testing in the book of Revelation? How many disciples are there? See, just testing you. There's always going to be a test. Tithing is a test. It's a two-way test. You can trust God. God wants to be able to trust you. God's saying, you can test me. And here's what test actually means. It's the same kind of testing of a metal. It's the tempering, the strengthening. It's you can know that the strength of God, the character of God is there. You can put him to the test on this. He said, you can find out if I'm pure, if I'm strong in my word. I want to bless you. I want to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you that you cannot contain. I want you to be able to see that I'm the kind of God that wants you to have a great life, that I've come that you would have an abundant life. I've come that you would be free. I'm the one who can sustain you. I'm the one that can bless you more in the 90% than you could have in having the 100% without me. I'm that kind of God. And I know that there's a lot of arguments about the concept of tithing, that it's under the law. Scripture shows, and I'm going to talk about it in just a few moments, and we're going to do just a few moments of Bible study in that. Scripture shows that it's not just under the law. It was before the law. It was during the law, and it's been since the law also. But let me just talk about that for a second. There are some principles under the law, like there are a lot of people say, that's under the law. Well, honestly, thou shalt not commit adultery was under the law. Does that make it okay to commit adultery now because we're not under the law? Absolutely, that would be foolishness. You know, so thou shalt not steal was under the law. So would it be okay for us to say, well, that was under the law, so now I can steal? Absolutely not. Pastor Jeff, you have your billfold? You have your wallet? Can I borrow it here? Thank you. This is Pastor Jeff's wallet. Yeah, he has a cross on it. What did you say this brand is? It's Swiss Army. Okay. Now, here's the deal, is If I'm under the law, I'm like, okay, this is his billfold. The Bible said, but I'm not under the law anymore, so I'm just going to keep it. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jeff, for your billfold. And yes, indeed, there is no money in this. Yeah, he said, okay, so here's the deal is it... Dirty dog, before service, I said to him, I want to steal your billfold during service. He took his money out. Now think about this. He knew that I was going to take it and I was going to steal it and was not going to give it back. So you know what he did? He withheld his money. In the same way, when God gives it to us, when he hands it to us and we make our minds up, and this is the word of the Bible here, that when we take it and keep it, it's like stealing from God, then you know what's going to take place? He's going to withhold it from us. You want the blessings of God. Pastor Jeff, you can have back your billfold since there's no money in it. And that $100 from last Sunday, I'm still going to get it back from you some way. Okay. Tithing is a test. Number two, tithing is biblical. I'm going to talk about this as quickly as I can. There are a lot of people who don't tithe because they say it's not biblical. Genesis, the 14th chapter in the 18th verse, here's what it says. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Now, let me talk about this for a few moments. Most scholars believe that Melchizedek in the Old Testament was a type and shadow of Christ in the New Testament, that he was a high priest, that he was someone who would intercede and he was somebody who obviously could also bless. So he's a type and shadow of Christ. And Abram gives him a tenth. Now, this is 500 years before the law. 500 years before the law. There's still people that argue and say, okay, well, you know, it was still Old Testament. Okay, let me ask this question. If Jesus told you to do it, if you heard Jesus, if Jesus said it himself to do it, would you do it? If Jesus' word said this is something you should do, would you do it? Read with me in Matthew 23, verse 23. For you are careful, and he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, you're careful to tithe even to the tiniest income of your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of law, justice, mercy, and faith. Now listen to these words. You should tithe, yes, but you should not neglect to do the more important things. And I know there are people like, yeah, he said not to neglect, but he says, you should tithe. You should do this. Do the one without neglecting the other. Now, there are some people who have said to me, okay, well, that was before Calvary, and so he was still under the law, okay? First of all, Jesus was always under grace, but here's the deal is he submitted himself to the law. But here's the deal is Hebrews, the 7th chapter, verse 8 says this. And if you read this whole passage, it has to do, this whole passage in Hebrews, the 7th chapter, has to do with Melchizedek, the high priest, who is kind of the type and shadow of Jesus in the Old Testament. And here's what it says. Here mortal men receive tithe on the earth in this life, in this generation, mortal men receive tithe. You go to church. The people at church receive it on behalf of God, but there he receives it from them. Jesus, when you give your tithes here, he observes it as though you were giving it in heaven. He records it in heaven that you're giving it here, but you're giving it there. Now listen, that's huge. This is Jesus, and it's referring to him post-law, post-Calvary, that you give it where mortal men receive it, and then he in heaven, he recognizes and receives your tithes there. Okay, here's the third thing. Tithe is a blessing. Tithe is a blessing. Now, you come here and you're blessed. And we just read the scripture a few moments ago in Malachi, the 3rd chapter. I want to read it again in the 10th verse. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Tithing provides, and this is a point I want you to write down, tithing provides for God's work through his church. It provides for God's work through his church. It allows us to continue to do what we do here at Christ Church. How many of you enjoy coming to church? I was hoping 100% of the hands went up right there, but let's... But you come here, and honestly, you come here and you expect that, you know, I've spent some time in prayer this week, that our staff's been praying, that we've been seeking the Lord, that you're going to come and you're going to be fed, that somehow we're going to stretch you and we're going to help you start to understand that God's plan for your life, and that you're going to walk out of this place knowing God wants to bless you and live your life out in that. This is the storehouse. This is the place where you're fed. This is the place where you grow. He says, bring your tithes into the storehouse so that you could be full. Okay, now, how many of you have ever gone to a restaurant and then just at the end of the dinner, after you were full, you just got up and walked out and didn't pay? How many of you? Don't put your hand up because we don't want to know that about you. How many of you have ever gone out to dinner with a family member, and after you went out to dinner with a family member, inevitably, every time you go out to dinner with them or out to dinner with a friend, they forgot their billfold. They don't have any cash. They'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today, you know? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you don't have a brother-in-law. My brother-in-law's in the balcony. God bless you, Terry. He's never done that to me. But here's the deal. This is when you got to dinner with a family member and they stiff you for it. Now, I'm saying this with as much delicacy and but yet as plain as I can. That's what some people do at church. Like, this is your home. This is your home church and you attend faithfully here. And yet, after you're full and after you've been blessed, you walk out and you let somebody else pay for it. You let somebody else pay, make sure that the lights are turned on and that there's air conditioner in here. And you let somebody else take care of paying the staff, and you let somebody else take care of making sure that the grounds are kept, and that next Sunday when you walk in here, there's going to be great worship taking place, and you're going to be able to find the presence of God and be full, but you let somebody else pay for it. It's exactly what's taking place. And see, God doesn't want you to live in that place, because see, lives are changing here. In the last quarter of 2015, 52 people confessed Christ here at Christ Church of Orlando. 52 people. And see, when you give into that, you're a part of the harvest that comes back. Your life is blessed in so many dimensions when you give. You live a full and a rich life, because it doesn't become just about the day-to-day operation of your life. You're a part of something that's bigger. Tithing allows us to continue to do God's work. Here's the second thing tithing does, is it teaches me to put God first. It teaches me to put God first. Deuteronomy 14 says this, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. That's pretty plain. Put him first, put him in front of everything. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What does all these things mean? All these things. Seek first the kingdom, put God first. Put God first in your thoughts. Put God first in your activity. Put God first in your finances. Put God first. And all these things will be added to you. I talked a few moments ago about the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus says, you shall have no other gods before me. He doesn't want us to have other gods, because he knows when we put other gods before him, that they lead us astray. They lead us to destruction. He said, I want you to take down the other gods. We have other gods that we have in our lives. And he's saying, I want you to take those down. Put God first. Number three, tithing increases my faith in God. Malachi, the third chapter, says this, you can test me in this, test me in this. You can prove me. You'll find out that I'm good for my word, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you. Matthew 23:23 says, be careful to tithe even the smallest place and do justice, but don't forget the one by neglecting the other. Okay, I'm going to give you just a few last points, and then I'm going to let you go, and we're going to pray in a few moments. Here's what happens when we start to talk about finances, and this is delicate. Honestly, guys, this is uncomfortable for me. I know it's uncomfortable for you, because this is personal. Where you spend, some of you don't want your spouses to know where you spend your money. Some of you don't want your parents or your children to know where you, this is personal, but yet God knows where that is, and he wants every aspect of your life to be blessed. So it's like, just open up your heart about this thing and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Most of the time in our lives, what happens is we begin to respond. Here's the ways we respond. Number one, we respond in greed. It's mine. It's mine. I got it. I'm going to keep it. But the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything in the world is God's. What you have already, the car you drove today, honestly, it's not yours. If you think that it's yours, then the reality is you kind of have a misunderstanding about the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's God's. If you've surrendered your life to him, you've surrendered, honestly, you've surrendered your heart, you've surrendered your emotions, you've surrendered your mind, and you've surrendered your goods to him, okay? We respond in greed. The second thing that we often do is we respond in fear. When somebody starts to talk about finances, we respond in fear, like, okay, I'm barely making it now. How am I going to make it on 10% less? And so we're like, man, I can't do this. And so rather than responding in faith, we respond in fear. Philippians, the fourth chapter and the 19th verse says this, my God will supply all your needs. My God will supply all your needs. I said it earlier in this service, I'd rather live with 90% of my money blessed from God than 100% not. Here's the last one. We respond in pride. We respond in pride. I did this. It was my imagination. It's my talent that got me the job. It's my education that got me the job. It's what I did that got me there. It's my ingenuity that did it. It's mine. It belongs to me. It's about me. The Bible says God resists the proud. We respond in pride. And ultimately what we do is when we respond in pride, God says, don't have any other gods before me. Here's the gods we have. We have the God of greed. We have the God of fear. We have the God of pride. And he says, don't put those things up in front of me. Let your faith speak and let your faith come before God. Now here's the way you should respond. I'm give you these last three things and then we're gonna close. You should determine in advance what your priority is. That's what tithing does. It determines in advance what your priority is. Giving, and let me just talk to you about this. Young people, I'm gonna pray for our teenagers in our church? I'm praying that you guys will learn this while you're a teenager. Because I'm praying that you'll never have to walk through a bankruptcy. I'm praying that you're never gonna have to walk through a time in your life where you just do without because your money's been blessed from the day you were a teenager. That if you're mowing a lawn, like God blesses you because you give your tithes. I'm praying that for every person in this room that you'll take a step of faith. We've been challenging you that you'll make a priority, that you'll do this, that you'll consider this aspect of your life. Here's the second thing. When we tithe, you determine where your gratitude is. You determine that it's not about you, that you're grateful for what God's done for you, that he saved you, that everything you have comes from him. And here's the third one. Are you ready? When you tithe, you drop into the offering plate your pride. You're not just dropping your money in the offering plate, you're dropping your pride. When you tithe, you are dropping your control into the offering plate. When you tithe, you're dropping your fear into the offering plate. And when you do that, that's a step of faith, and God always honors faith. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing. I'm praying that you'll consider taking a step of faith. And I know that, you know, again, it's not my favorite conversation, but it's a necessary conversation. There's a challenge that we have out here at Christ Church. I alluded to during the offering. We're in a 90-day challenge. The Bible says that you can test God. We're going to ask you to test God. I'm going to ask you that you'll make the decision, make it a priority. You can test God, and you can test God every time you get a paycheck. That you'll test God and say, God, I'm going to give you 10%. I'm going to give you my tithes off of this. If it's once a month or twice a month, or if you get paid every week, whatever that is, I'm going to make this a priority. If you'll do it for the next 90 days, I'm so convinced that God's going to bless you. I'm so convinced that you're going to see places in your life, that things are going to happen in your life that you're like, man, I don't know where that came from. That God's going to show his favor in your life. I'm so convinced of that, that if at the end of 90 days, you come in here and say, Pastor, I'm just not seeing the blessings of God in my life, we will give you back all of the money that we have recorded for you in 90 days. That's how much we believe you can test God. That's how much we believe that you can put God on the line. You can test him because he's going to test you to see if you're going to trust him, if you're going to trust money. Let's take a moment. I want to pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you, God, that in each and every heart, in each and every mind, that you'll help break down the walls that cause us to walk in fear and pride and greed. And dear Lord, and instead, we'll trust you. Lord, I ask you, God, that every person in this room today will just take a moment and surrender, that nothing will be a God in their life except you sitting on the throne of their heart. And we know your promise says that if we trust you and put you first, that you'll add all of these things. Lord, give people the courage today to take this step of faith. And dear Lord, I ask you that you'll pour out blessings on them that they cannot contain. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In the next few moments, we're gonna sing a song. And as we sing this song, I'm going to ask you to stand. And maybe you're here today and you have another need in your life. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's you need healed. Maybe you need encouraged. Maybe there's a problem in a home or a problem in a relationship or a problem on your job. But you'd like to have somebody pray with you. We're going to stand together. Go ahead and let's just stand together. And as soon as we start to sing, I'm going to ask you, come from the balcony. come from every place, wherever you are. If you want prayer, come down front here. We're going to have some prayer partners that are going to come. We're going to pray with you and ask the Lord, as you open your arms to him, that he'll open his arms and pour out blessings on you even today and meet your need here. Okay, let's sing together.